بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله continuing on from where we left off yesterday we're discussing the story of Dawood and Jalut and we left off we spoke about the biblical narration and In that narration, we covered the aspect of how the Banu Israel, they were appointed with the prophet at the time, Samuel or Shamuel alayhi salam, and he had appointed Talut as a leader over them. Now, once again, there were 72 of these chief leaders in these 12 different tribes of the Banu Israel. And so they had come to Shamuel alayhi salam, and they had asked him to appoint a leader. And their thought process was that he would appoint a leader from among them. This is what they wanted. They wanted this power so that they could govern and they could rule over the other tribes. But Shamuel alayhi salam, he was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appoint none other than Talut. And as we said before, Talut was a shepherd. He was from the smallest tribe of the Banu Israel, from the tribe of Binyamin. And he was not someone who was very liked. So nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on to mention this in the Quran. He says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيِّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا That their prophet, their Nabi, Shamuel alayhi salam, he said to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Talut as a governor over you. And he has appointed Talut as a governor over you. Now again, like I said, that they wanted to be the leader themselves. But this was someone from outside of these 72 leaders. And so they had an objection to this. They said, قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ They said that, how can this be possible? How? You know, one is how in Arabic, كَيْفَ So he asks like, how are you, كيف حالك? And one is أنّا, like, how is it possible? أنّا, that how is it possible that this person can be govern, can be given this rulership and this governorship over us? وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْ Even though we are more rightful over this, we are more rightful and more worthy of having this kingdom and ruling over the others. Why? وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ Because this person, Talut, he's just a mere shepherd. And he hasn't been given any wealth. You know, he has no wealth. He has no status in the community. What is he going to do? And so, you know, in this, there's a lesson for us that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands us, right? Because if we look at this story, this is their prophet, their Nabi. Shamuel alayhi salam, he is the prophet of the time and he is telling them a command, but the Banu Israel, they do not want to follow this command of their own prophet. Right? And all the commands that the prophet gives, where does he get these commands from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands us, then all we say is sami'na wa ata'na. That we have heard and we obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. This should be the thought process of every believer. That we completely submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us, this is what we believe in 100%. And we see this many times, many stories, many examples of this throughout the lives of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Right, if you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, everyone knows the trial Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through and how he responded. Right? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ You know, أَسْلِمْ, being a Muslim, the literal meaning of Muslim is one who submits. One who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us, we completely submit. You know, whether we understand it or not, we wholeheartedly submit in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we don't understand the wisdom or the hikmat or the reasoning behind whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. There's some things, they may not make logical sense to us. For example, we know that it is sunnah to wear a head covering, to wear a topi, right? But when you go for hajj, when you go for umrah, you're not allowed to cover the head. You know, it's sunnah that you should apply itr. But when you're in the state of ihram, you should also not apply itr. Right? So these are things that logically, one may not think of it to make sense, but again, these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. So whether we understand it or not, we abide by these laws and we abide by these rulings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so again, going back to the story, they said that this person, he does not have any financial status. You know, we want a person who is very rich, who can have influence among the people. You know, we want a businessman, you know, so he can make this country great again. And also we want someone of great influence amongst the people. This person is just a shepherd. So again, they did not have that tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this tawakkul, this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of the qualities that we have as believers. Right? In whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us, we think of it to be better for us in the end. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that how great is the affair of a believer, إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ, that everything, all of his matters are great for him. They are good for him. How? And he says, وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, that this is only for the believer. This is not for anyone else. Only for the believer is it that every single one of his matters are good for him. And how is this? إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, that if anything good were to happen to him, if anything good happens to him in his life, and he is thankful, he shows gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is good for him. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, this is better for him. Why? Allah says, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you show gratefulness towards me, if you show gratitude towards me, then I will increase you in these bounties and I will increase you in these blessings. So if you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something good that happens to you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in these bounties. And this is better for you. This is on one hand. If someone is going through something good, if something good happens to him, and if something bad happens to him, right? If he's facing a calamity, if he's facing a hardship, وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, then in these times of hardship, if he shows patience, if he endures these calamities and these hardships with patience, then this is also better for him. Because when he endures these things with patience and he shows tawakkul and trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him in this as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward for showing this patience and for enduring this calamity with patience and having reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in both situations, whether good or bad, at all times, if we always have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts and our minds, then all of these different situations can be a means of blessings for us. Right? Another story regarding Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the verse was revealed from لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and then وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Right? It was revealed that whatever you make apparent, and even if the things that are concealed in your hearts, even the thoughts that cross your mind, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account of it on the day of judgment. And so, you know, on hearing this, obviously, you know, all of us, we have thoughts that pass our minds, and some of these thoughts are from shaitan as well. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they got a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous after hearing this verse, that will we be held accountable for even these thoughts that pass our minds? Because sometimes we don't have control over these thoughts. And so they thought of this as something severe, and they knew that this was a verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they didn't straight out reject this verse, that this is a false verse, na'udhu billah. Rather, they took this question of theirs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he waited for the verse to be revealed, يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ يَعْدِبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then it was revealed that rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he won't take account for these mere thoughts that come across your mind. The thoughts that you end up acting on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account for these actions. But just for these thoughts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take account for you for these thoughts. But nonetheless, the lesson in this for us is that whatever verse was revealed, you know, they took it to their hearts. Whatever verse was revealed, they took it to their hearts and they acted upon it. Because they realized that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is sending this Quran for us as a guidance for us. Right? Once Ali bin Hussein, rahimahullah, very pious individual, once he was sitting and he asked his maid to bring a bowl of water so that he can perform wudu, so that he can perform ablution. And this maid, she was coming and by accident, this bowl, it fell out of her hands and the water fell onto Ali bin Hussein, rahimahullah. And you know, she saw the anger in his face from this, but she knew that he was a very pious individual. So she started reciting some verses of the Quran. But in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is mentioning the qualities of the muttaqeen, of the servants who have taqwa. And from among these qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. So she started reciting this, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Those who swallow their anger. Those who swallow their anger. So after she recited this portion of the verse, she saw that the face of Ali bin Hussein, rahimahullah, it changed, and his anger had lessened. So she continued on with this verse. And she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves those who forgive. He loves those who forgive. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And so after hearing this portion of the verse, Ali bin Hussein rahimahullah, he says that I have forgiven you. He said, I have forgiven you. But she didn't stop there. She finished off the verse and she said, Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsineen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do good. And after hearing this portion of the verse, Ali bin Hussein rahimahullah, he said, I have freed you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are free, you can go. Because, you know, when they heard these verses, they took these verses to heart. They took these verses to heart. They had this intention that we will act upon every single portion of the Quran that we can. And I explained this before yesterday as well, that nowadays we just merely, we recite the Quran. We do tilawat of the Quran, but we don't take into account the actual message that is being given to us and the actual lessons that we can derive from this Quran. So nonetheless, going back to the story, they said that, you know, how can this person be appointed as governor over us? He has not been given any wealth, any status in the community. So in order to make them understand, Shamil alayhi salam, he tells them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has chosen him as a governor over you. This is not something that I have chosen from myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. He says, قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him. وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. And He has expanded him, has increased him in both knowledge and in his physical capabilities. Right? These are two qualities of a leader. That he will be given the necessary knowledge which is needed for someone to lead. Right? And not only will he be given this knowledge, but he will also learn more. That whatever is needed for a ruler, whatever is necessary for him to know how to handle the army, right? How to distribute, who to appoint as leaders from among these different battalions in the army. These are all things of knowledge that will be given to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him in these things. And at the same time, the second quality is that he will be given physical capability. Whatever is physically needed from him as a leader, he will be given this as well. Right, nowadays what happens is we have leaders who are not even physically capable, who are not even able to articulate the speech for themselves. Right? Nowadays what they do is just put someone up on the pedestal as a leader just to save face. And in reality there's people who are behind him who are pulling the strings. And this person is just someone to show face. And you know, this person, you know, if they are asked questions, they can't even answer these questions properly. You know, they suffer from dementia, right? And all of these different things. But the reality is that the qualities of a leader are that he should have the necessary knowledge and he should be physically capable as well. So Shamil alayhi salam, he tells the people that this governor who will be chosen over you, he will be given both of these qualities. And he says, he goes on to say, وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives his kingdom and his rulership to whomsoever he wishes. You know, this who are you to question who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints as a leader when this kingdom, this rulership is not even yours. This leadership is not even yours. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can appoint as a leader whomsoever he wishes. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the ruler. He is the ruler of all the kings. He can appoint whomsoever He wishes as leader. He can snatch away the kingdomship from whomsoever He wishes. He can give izzah, respect and honor and dignity to whomsoever He wishes. And He can snatch this dignity and this honor away as He wishes as well. And he says, وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is vast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast and He is all-knowing. So He can grant these qualities to whomsoever He wishes. And then he goes on to say, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, and so nonetheless, after he explains to them this way, right, he, as a prophet, he shouldn't even have had to explain this in the first place. As soon as he said that Talut is a governor over you, they should have accepted it. But nonetheless, he had to explain it to them. And after he explained this to them, then they finally accepted it. And then what happened? So this is on one side. On one hand, you have Shamil alayhi salam trying to explain to them that Talut has been appointed as a governor over you. And on the other hand, like I mentioned yesterday, in the end, about the Ark of the Covenant, right? This was a holy relic, something cherished and a focal point in the ibadah and worship of the Banu Israel. And like I mentioned, in one of their battles, this holy relic, it was taken from one of their enemies. They took it and then they kept it with them. But then this was supposed to be a means of barakah and means of blessings for them. But unfortunately, it ended up becoming as a burden upon them, as a curse upon them. Right? They ended up getting a lot of illnesses from this. So on one hand, this was happening. And so Shamil alayhi salam, he tells the people that one of the signs that I am truthful and that Talut is being appointed as a governor over you, that this is a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the signs of this is that this covenant, this holy relic which was taken away from you, it will be given back to you. And so, you know, they ask that, how is this possible? Our enemies took this, how will it be given back to us? And so what happened, like I said, on the other hand, you had this group, the enemies who had taken it. But since it became a burden and a curse upon them, they thought, you know, we have to get rid of this as soon as possible. And so they put it on a carriage, and there were bulls or horses, whatever, and they took this carriage, they took this holy relic, and while they were speaking on this end, Shamil alayhi salam is explaining to them, this holy relic, it came right in front of them. This is the next verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining. He says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ, that a sign of his ownership, of his kingdom, of his leadership over you, of Talut's leadership over you, أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتِ, that this tabut, this covenant will come to you. And so like I said, while they were discussing this, this covenant came in front of them. And in this tabut, in this covenant, what is there? أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتِ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, in it is peace and tranquility. Is peace and tranquility, what it means is that what they thought, what their belief was of the Banu Israel at the time, you know, they thought that on this there was a seat, and this was the seat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? This is how we believe in the Kaaba as the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't believe that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually resides in this, na'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this, right? House of Allah means that this is a place of worship and a place of great blessing and barakah, right? A place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped. But they believe that this was the seat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sakina also comes from the word second, you know, place of living, of residence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions that in this was sakina mir rabbikum, وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ. And some of the remnants of Harun and of Musa alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. Like, and we mentioned the staff of Musa alayhi salam, and they believe that there was also the staff of Harun alayhi salam. And تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, that the angels, they brought this. What does this mean? Did it mean that they picked it up and they brought it to them? No, like I said, they had put it in this carriage, and through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels then guided this carriage back towards Talut and his people. So while they were discussing this, this carriage was brought to them. And so once they saw that, you know, this was definitely a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Talut be appointed as a leader, because now they saw this sign in front of them. This carriage was brought back to them. So they realized that this was a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so now they believed in the ruling of Shamil alayhi salam, and they believed in the leadership of Talut. So moving forward now with the story, now Talut, he has assembled his army. He assembles his army. Some narrations it comes that this entire army is of 80,000. In some narrations even more, 120,000. Nonetheless, so he has his entire army. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ. So when Talut, the word is used, فَصَلَ. فَصَلَ means to separate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say here خَرَجَ, that when he left with his armies. Allah says فَصَلَ, when he separated with his armies. Meaning that when him and his army, they separated and they left behind those from their family, you know, their wives, their children, their family, their possessions back behind in their homes. Right? Because they had been traveling for miles and miles on end. Right? Now they are traveling to go and attack the enemy. And so they have become completely separate from their family and from their homes. And obviously when they're in a journey, right, and severe heat, scorching heat at the time, and they are traversing through mountains, and they're carrying things on their back, right? As we all know, if you go hiking, especially if you have to carry something on your back as well, how hard this can be. And so they are very hungry, they are very thirsty, extreme thirst and hunger. So this is also a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Talut, he warns his people beforehand. He warns his people beforehand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to test you. He is going to test you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he tests us, he wants to see who is successful in these tests, who passes these tests. And he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to test you with a river. With a river. Right? You're very thirsty, you're very hungry, you've been traveling, you've been journeying for so long. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you with this river. فَمَنْ شَرِيبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنْ. Whoever drinks from this river, he is not from me. He is not part of my group anymore, he is not part of my army anymore. And he will be sent back. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. And whoever does not drink from it, then he is from amongst me. Now the word shariba means to drink, and which was used before, فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks from it, he is not from me. But then Allah does not say وَمَنْ لَمْ يَشْرِبْ مِنْ, that whoever doesn't drink from it. He says وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ. يَطْعَمْ, طَعَمْ literally means to eat. And the reason why this word was used over here is because in this sense, it is meaning that whoever does not even taste from this, whoever does not even taste from this river, then he is from me. فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اِخْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. Except for one handful. If he drinks one handful, then this is fine, but this is the limit. More than this, then he will be sent back. And so it comes in the narrations, it says, first Allah in the Quran, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ. That this army, they drank from this water. You know, they didn't pass this test. They ended up drinking from this water, from this river, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ, except for a small portion. Except for a small portion. And it comes in the narrations. We said, how large was this army? 80,000. In some narrations, it comes 120,000. So, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ, every single one of them, they failed this test except for a small portion. How many remained? It comes in the narrations, 313. From the 80,000 or 120,000, every single one of them failed this test except for 313. The rest of them, they ended up drinking from this river. And so they were sent back after. They were sent back. And only 313 of them, they had this full conviction and reliance in the hukam, in the ruling, and they had this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you know, you could just imagine how they felt at the time, that we were an army of 80,000 and we're going to attack our enemies, and now only 313 of us are left. You know, we look behind ourselves and there's no one behind us anymore. Right? How are we going to face our enemies now? How are we going to face our enemies? How are we going to be victorious? So some of them, they had this thought, like, you know, what can we do now? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزُوهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, that when they traversed this river, Jalut and his army, when they traversed this river, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, and those who believed with him. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just mention that when Talut and his army traversed the river, He said, when Talut and those who believed in him traversed the river. Because Allah is emphasizing, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, those who believed in him, those who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they didn't drink more than a handful from this river. قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ, they said that we do not have any power today. You know, there's only 313 of us from 80,000. How are we going to face Jalut and his armies? And so if you look at it, the Mufassirun, they mentioned that there were three groups formed, right? One group, we know the group that failed this test from the beginning. They drank from this river more than a handful. And so this group, they were sent back. And then there was the second group who they drank a bit from this river, right, one handful, and they ended up having, you know, these doubts of how are we going to face our enemies. This was the second group. And then there was a third group who had full conviction, full reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who didn't drink from this river at all because they knew that this was the higher conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did not even have this thought that how are we going to face our enemies now. This is the level of their tawakkul and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So regarding this group, Allah mentions, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ وَلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةٍ كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that this group, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing this group, He doesn't just say that وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ or وَقَالَ آخَرُونَ, that some of them, a group of them said, or the others, they said this. No, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُ اللَّهِ, that those who had this yaqeen, those who had this belief, that they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, these are the people, like I said, who had this full conviction. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses them. And what did they say? They said, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that how many of a small group, how many of a small group have overcome before a group of large number? A small group. How many have overcome a group of a large number? Bi-idhnillah, with the command and with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reality of this, my brothers, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not in need of any resources. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wishes. All He has to kun fayakun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any resources of, you know, a big enough army, of an army, of a big number to defeat another army. This help, this assistance, this divine inspiration and help comes from none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If you look at Musa alayhi salam, this one-man army, him and Harun alayhi salam, they were able to defeat the entire army of Fir'aun, and his entire army. Just these few individuals, right? Numerous stories in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? One story that I forgot to mention before, regarding when they were going onto the journey and they had less food, less ration, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentions that, you know, once on one expedition, we were going and we had our food ration. But as the journey progressed, you know, this food lessen and our ration, it became less and less, to a point where we only had one date. We could only eat one date in a day. And so, you know, the students who he was narrating this to, they said, how could you survive on one date in a day? And he said that there came a point where we did not even have this single date in a day. And we cherished the time where we would have this one date. And when we didn't have this one date, what we would do? We would suck on the pit of the date. We would suck on the pit of the date to satisfy our hunger. And he says that, and on some days that we'd have to chew these leaves, you know, as a result of these things, that we would have ulcers in our mouth. And so, you know, these were the sacrifices that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they gave. But again, as I was saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of these resources. We look at the story of Badr. 313 Badriyin with less resources, you know, with less horses, less camels, did not have good amount of swords to battle their opponents who were in the thousands. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent His help. He sent His help. He sent His angels to help defeat the enemy. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, according to some narrations, he went with an army of just 60 people. 60 people to face 60,000. And actually he said, you know, I don't even need 60 people. Give me 30 people and I will choose these 30 people myself. And for each individual, we'll take care of 2,000 people. And I said to him, no, you know, not 30. 30 is too less. 60, fine. So he went with 60 people, defeat an army of 60,000. Again, this is the divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was chased out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Chased out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they went into the cave. And, you know, the enemies, they came to look for them. And we all know the narration. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, you know, the enemies are right here. We can see their feet. They're right here. All they have to do is look underneath, look into this cave, and they can see us. And we're done, khalas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. إذ قال لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. That don't grieve, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. And this is the trust and the tawakkul that we have to have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they traveled to Madinatul Munawwara, and just 8 years after Hijrah, 8 years after migration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came back to Makkah al-Mukarramah and he conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. And even the historians, when they look at this, even they are astonished. That how can someone who leaves behind all of his possessions, all of his things that he owns, he leaves all of these things back and he migrates to another city. And then within 8 years, he comes back to this city and he conquers this entire city. How is this possible? Even the historians, they're astonished at this. But again, this comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not in need of these resources. So again, going back to the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and then He says, وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is with those who are patient. He is with those who are patient. And so they went traversing the land. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. That when they appeared again, like I said yesterday, they were on one side of the valley, on the other side was the Jalut and his army. And Jalut, he had come down into the valley challenging the people. And the believers, they made this dua at the time. They said, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. That send down, shower down your mercy and your patience. أَفْرِغْ. أَفْرِغْ literally means to empty out. Like empty out a bowl. That empty out the entire bowl of mercy, صَبْرًا. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And grant us steadfastness. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And help us against these disbelievers. عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. You know, this was the dua. This is the power of the dua, my dear brothers. And so nonetheless, we don't have time to finish off the entire story, but to cut the story short, then they went on and they ended up defeating Jalut. Like I mentioned yesterday, how Dawud alayhi salam, he came down and he shot the slingshot and he defeated Jalut and his army, and then they ran away. And again, this entire incident, it took place before Dawud alayhi salam was given prophethood. After this, Allah mentions, وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ, that after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He granted Dawood alayhi salam leadership and kingdom, and He granted him hikmah. Hikmah, the Mufassir mentioned, that hikmah, this also can mean in the meaning of nubuwah, that after this, Dawood alayhi salam was granted prophethood. Right? But just one point I'll finish off on this, inshallah, is the power of dua, of this dua. That the tawakkul and the reliance that these believers had, that in this dua they made for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them success. You know, nowadays we make dua, but we don't have focus in our dua. Especially in the dua that we make after namaz, you know, it's just become like a formality. That we raise our hands after dua and, you know, we're there, we're physically there, but at the same time we're not there. Our bodies are physically there, but mentally we're somewhere else. Right, we're there, we just raise our hands after salam, and the imam makes dua. Again, we're thinking about something else. And then when the imam says, بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحِيمِ, then we just put our hands over our faces. And one of the main reasons for this is because we've become too accustomed to doing things as groups. It's very difficult for us to do things on our own. Right, making dua, reciting the Quran, performing tahajjud at night, right? These things, we become so accustomed to doing things as groups and as events that it's very difficult for us to do things on our own. And in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to see us do these things on our own, because when we do these things on our own, this is when we build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when we're in the privacy of our room, of our rooms, in our homes, and we're in the privacy of our rooms, at that time, when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we pray tahajjud at that time, when we recite Quran at that time, you know, we're one-on-one conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is munajat. We're one-on-one conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is through this that we develop a connection and we bring ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there's one message that we leave with today, my dear brothers, is that let us build this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us make dua with full focus. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that, he says, وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءَ مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. To the effect of, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not accept the prayer of someone, or of someone who has a negligent heart, of someone who is negligent and he is heedless when he is making dua. Allah does not accept his dua. Right? And you see, our brothers and sisters around the globe, right, over here, we are able to do iftali and suhoor, so much food, so much peace, so much comfort. But there are Muslims out there who cannot even have iftali, have suhoor in peace and comfort. But they're trying to have suhoor and there are missiles coming down on them. Right? But what are the words coming from their mouths? Hasbunallah. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakil. They have full reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers. And why? What is the entire point of me mentioning this story? Allah mentions, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That we mention these stories from the Quran because through these stories, we strengthen your hearts. These stories are to strengthen your hearts, to help you, to guide you, to assist you, as a source of inspiration for you, to take lesson from. It's one saying, Al-hikayat jundum min junudillah. That these stories, these narrations of our predecessors, the stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, these are like armies from the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they help us, they give us inspiration, they give us strength. But it is on us to understand them. It is on us to take lessons from them. So nonetheless, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the ability to understand the true lessons from the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the ability to take lessons from these stories and bring the lessons from these stories into our lives as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them freedom from the oppression and from the oppressors. Ameen. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.